Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triforce Podcast.
The Triforce Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
One of the top-rated podcasts on all of iTunes right now.
Yeah, boy!
We won the Best Variety Award from Pornhub Podcast Review last week as well, which is a huge accolade for us.
Was it Mike's Dildos or someone else's? I can't remember. Shout out to our sponsor for all the good work with the dildos.
Yeah.
The dildo retrieval service.
Yeah. So far in 2018, we've had a massive 1.5 downloads, which has been just humongous.
I mean, love the half. The guy just quit. He was like,
he was just like, I wonder what these guys are like. 5 seconds in, this is not for me. This is not for me. I gotta go.
So we've spoken about this show before, right? I was watching Frasier, and it was one of my favorite episodes where he needs to come up with a new jingle for his show. And his dad goes, "Feeling mad, I'm listening." You know, that's his jingle that he comes up with. And Frasier comes up with this ridiculous, long-winded, orchestral piece with all this spoken word. And I was thinking, we should just come up with a jingle.
Yeah.
Like, I figured just four lines, nice and simple, but it needs to rhyme and it needs to be a good jingle. So I thought we could do, as a little mini project at the start of this week's episode, we have to come up with a jingle. So I'm thinking,
all right,
what do we want to say? Let's brainstorm this and people can get a little window into the brilliance that is the Triforce Podcast.
All right, I got one. Here's mine. You ready?
Got one. Let's go. Yeah.
All right. Triforce Podcast, it's the best. Just don't listen to it in Budapest.
Okay. I see where you're going with that.
It goes dark at the end. See, like how it goes, like it kind of goes a bit creepy. Like it's like, oh fuck, what the fuck's going on in Budapest?
I think maybe we should be more aggressive. I think it should be like, hey, mate, listen to the Triforce Podcast, or else you're gonna get glassed.
I'm just writing down these lyrics because they're gold.
What if we got William Shatner to like do the, you know, his spoken word singing for the jingle too?
That would be funny.
That would be pretty good.
The Triforce Podcast, and he sort of looks so distant into the camera.
Triforce Podcast.
I said to her, the Triforce Podcast.
I'd be up for that. I don't know if he would, though.
Okay.
I mean, maybe if we show him our stats, though, he'd be like, whoa, no.
1.5.
Oh, God.
Hey, mate, you're listening to the Triforce Podcast, or else you're going to get glassed.
Yeah.
I'm not
happy with either of these entries.
Right.
Which one is your favorite of the two submitted so far?
I'm going to say neither, if I could.
If you had to pick one, though, like which one... Which one's getting on the plane and which one's getting floated?
Yours is better.
Okay.
Lewis's is just...
Right answer.
I mean, I admire the rhyming of podcast with glassed.
Right.
It's like a semi-rhyme. I like that, but it doesn't sum us up. Neither is the best. Just don't list it in Budapest. Like, none of them... They don't actually say anything about the podcast.
It's going to be a laugh blast.
It's going to be a laugh.
How about something like... Three fellas talking, listen while you're walking.
Oh my God.
Oh, I see. I was thinking more rappy. I was thinking we could rap it.
On the toilet or while at work. What rhymes with work? Listen to it while you twerk.
Poor jerk.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Just three fellas a-talking.
Are you typing all this while you're singing?
Dude, you don't want to lose this. You gotta, and then you look back at the lyrics.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I think you do want to lose this.
Dude, listen to this. Just listen, all right? Now imagine this with a little jingle.
Oh, God.
Three fellas talking. Listen while you're walking. On the toilet or while at work. Listen to it while you twerk. Just three fellas a-talking. With a little country jingle.
Barrel.
I think that's
very
work.
Frasier. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, like so we haven't settled
like
on one.
A lot.
If you have a suggestion.
Yours is a little bit more elaborate.
I really like that P-Flex. If you could add some piano to
it. Yeah, a little, or some country music.
Get it recorded
like
for next time and we'll put it on the start of the podcast. Yeah, sounds good.
I mean, we could even put those other bits, Triforce Podcast, It's the Best, Justin listened to it in Budapest. Hey, mate, listen to the Triforce Podcast or else you're going to get glassed. We could put those as a stanza
between. Can we say jugged instead of glassed? Because it's more, we've talked about jugging. I don't know if we've talked about glassing much.
I mean, it doesn't rhyme, though, does it? I mean, the whole point of it is that it rhymes. I feel like any song or poem or jingle has to rhyme, right? That's just my thing.
How about, hey, listen to the Triforce Podcast, you mug, or you'll go to prison and I'll get my jug.
What if it takes a dark twist at the end, though, and then it doesn't need to? You could do, you don't have, you can break out of rhyme for the dark twist at the end.
Like
right?
as a shocker. Sort
yeah,
of thing.
That's
yeah.
right. And then like the music changes all of a sudden and it just turns into like that like Vietnam War flashback kind of music where it's like.
Music comes in.
Yeah.
Listen to the podcast or we will murder you. Oh, back to the jingle.
We will jug you.
You will get a jugging. Such a jugging.
such a thorough jugging. Yeah, these are great ideas. I can see why people listen to this now. Like, I didn't understand the hype at first. You know, when we got those stats through and I was like, wow, somebody out there is loving this. And
It's just Russian bots, isn't it? It's like
it's
the election.
Be, yeah.
Putin's trying to push us. He's obviously got an agenda.
He's got
based
some
around
sort of agenda,
podcast.
Yeah.
He wants you to push Triforce Podcast very hard.
He wants to bring
1.5 downloads. Make it happen, fair guy.
He wants to bring the whole podcast system down from the inside in the UK.
That's how you do it. You promote the worst, and then everybody says, podcasts suck.
Yeah.
We got this. So last week we were away. We missed the podcast last week.
Yeah, how was Seattle?
Oh,
Did you have any chowder?
Did we have any chowder, Sips?
I didn't have any.
I specifically told you to have chowder.
I mean, I don't think Lewis did either. Terps might have, I guess.
I'm shocked.
I don't think I did.
Chowder is seafood, though, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't eat seafood, man. I don't eat any fish or meat or
so
anything.
So you're a vegan?
No, I'm not a vegan.
Just vegetarian.
But I don't eat chicken. I don't eat fish. I don't eat meat. So make a wish.
Even clams? Like clams?
I don't eat a clam either.
You feel bad for the clams now?
No,
I... You free them from their shell prison and put them in a delicious chowder in a bread bowl and you eat them.
I would not eat a clam.
What did you think of Seattle, though? It's a cool city, isn't it?
It is. It's cool, yeah. It was really fun.
We took a couple of days out and looked around.
We can't say much about it. That's the only
thing. Tell me when we finish recording.
It's awkward.
More,
yeah.
Well, this is something to talk about because part of my sort of understanding is that what I do is I do things and then share them with people. Like whenever I used to make vlogs of me going to places or still do sometimes. Kind of the idea is to share that experience with the audience and sort of let them kind of get a picture of what it's like. And so it's kind of unusual to go away somewhere and feel like we can't really talk about it. But we can say that we went to see Valve because...
We can't say that. You have to cut that.
We can say that. That's fine. we met some people, me and Terps met some people from Valve at GDC. And we were talking to them about Jingle Jam and what we'd been doing. And they were kind of very... Now it's gone very silent in here, okay? Very silent because obviously P-Flex works with Valve.
Everybody's concentrating on not breaking an NDA right now. That's why.
That's basically what it
Everybody's
is.
Everybody's furiously concentrating on what they're. It's like an intense game of chess. Our brains are whizzing and worrying, and we're like, "What can I say? How do I filter myself here?"
Well, I think
normally I operate without filter, but now all of a sudden I have to filter myself.
So we basically met them at GDC, and they were like, "We'd like to talk to you guys more about, you know, stuff, the Jingle Jam and stuff like this, and also just generally, if you're there, it'll be good. If you're coming up, it'd be good to talk to you and have you talk to some of the teams about what you do, because." Basically, when we were talking to people at Valve, it was clear that they were very, very smart people.
Oh, yeah, they're clever lads.
And
lasses, obviously.
We would ask them the dumbest questions in the world, okay? And then they would answer them. They'd just be like, oh, that's easy. I can tell you that straight away. And we'd be like, ah, that's how that thing works. Amazing. They would ask us a question, and it would be not the dumbest question in the world, but it would be like a question that we could answer easily because it's from our world, right? The world of...
Right.
From the point of view of Twitch streamers and YouTubers, it's like, you know, content creators and Steam curators and kind of...
professional podcasters.
We had a lot of answers for them, and they had a lot of answers for us. I sort of said, if we can get some sort of help with the Jingle Jam, that would be great, and I think that's what we got. So I think, overall, good trip.
Yeah.
And we also saw some stuff that we can't talk about, you know, and that's it, really. That's all we could say.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk too much about Valve because people...
Yeah, we don't want to tell people stuff that we can't really talk about. Like, that's not
what I will say, though, is that we ate a lot of delicious food.
But no chowder.
In their building, yeah. That's, I guess that's like all we can say.
So wait, have they moved to a new office? Because they were in Bellevue.
They're in Bellevue, but they've got, I've only been there, I think, a couple of years in the office that they're at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've seen the new offices.
No. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's very... Very nice. Really, really nice place.
Yeah.
I mean, Valve is always... Everyone's always talked about Valve because they're kind of very secretive. They're very mysterious. They're very, I guess, like the North Korea of game design. They're very closed off.
They're very powerful. I think the thing is they've got a lot of cachet because the games that they've made and everything are so huge. They seem to do things differently to other games companies.
So hang on, let's just clear this up quickly. They're like North Korea because they're secretive, not because they're hated by most of the rest of the gaming industry.
Yeah, they're not trying to build weapons of mass destruction in Bellevue, but
I don't think
there's a lot of fondness for them because of the games that they've made. I know they haven't made games for a few years now. I don't know. I really like them. All the people that I've met working for Valve, like you said, they're always very smart, very
Holy
competent
crap.
People.
No, absolutely everyone there was wonderful.
It's ridiculous, right? Like you just talk to someone and you're like, what do you do? Like this is, so when I go to TI, I'll talk to people and they'll be running something or they'll be programming something, they're making something, they're doing something, or they're working on the production for the Dota tournament and everything. And I'm like, so what is your background? Like, you're a sound engineer? They're like, oh, no. My background is I'm a plumber or whatever. But I just turned my hand to this piece of software and made it better and did this, that, and the other. So it's like they just find these really smart people and they just say, hey, you like so-and-so, don't you? Yeah, okay, you're now the guy in charge of X. And you just go away and do that. It's amazing.
I don't think they necessarily even say that. I think they say, would you like to come and work at Valve? The person is like, to do what? And then it's like, well,
they don't just have like a job, do they? They're just like, hey, you want to do this?
I think this is the thing, like talking to everyone at Valve, they're not like isolationist or like shy or like kind of like secretive necessarily. They are very much open, but it's kind of not their... Because they don't have sort of very fixed roles. It's all very kind of, you can kind of do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
but you need to do something.
But no one is necessarily outward facing necessarily. I think from my impression, they don't, and from my knowledge, they don't really have a PR team. They don't really have an outward facing team.
No, I don't think they do. I don't think
they don't
so.
Really have any sort of agreed way of talking to people. And as a result, the whole process is that, you know, if you want to talk to people about what you're doing and stuff, you could do it. But other people might not be happy with you doing that at the company. And so I don't know I think what it leads to is that it's no one's job really to sort of do that. And so as a result of the culture, it kind of becomes what appears to be kind of quite unapproachable.
I mean, Eric Johnson is like the main guy he's like the go-to guy for any kind of public facing business stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's the guy that's generally made himself the most available as, if you want to talk to anyone, talk to me.
Yeah.
Because he's a very senior guy there, you know, he's been there a long time, he knows Valve inside out, and he's like a Valve guy.
Yeah.
But I think most people, yeah, you ask them, like, there's general kind of Valve-y answers for things. Like, you'll ask a question, and you'll get pretty much the same answer from whoever you ask there. Not like, I'm not saying they're like a hive mind, but I do wonder if one of the things they've worked on is a chip that can be inserted into the brain.
Yeah.
And if someone asks a question... Eric Johnson pushes a button and says, don't answer that question. And the little voice pops in their head and says, don't answer that question. They just sort of go, I don't know what you're talking about, or I can't comment on that.
They just suddenly go like a little bit limp when you ask them
a
question.
Yeah, they just sort of, no comment. Like, wow, they got Eric'd. Fair enough. It feels like that a little bit. Like there's a kind of, they know what they can and can't say.
I mean, they've got to, though. And every game company, every big game company is like that. I mean, Blizzard is the same.
I assume so.
Yeah, they have to.
I mean, but if you look at like Bluehole, right?
Yeah.
Like they seem to say whatever the fuck they want. And of course, that's the thing. It's an example of what happens when you have people just spouting shit. Like Brendan says things like, there won't be microtransactions until we're out of alpha, and then microtransactions turn up and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder if some companies actually just think, oh, I can talk to the press, no problem. And they'll say stuff and they just think, oh, people will forget.
Yeah.
But they don't forget anymore. And I think Valve knows that they never promise anything. Just tell people to be ready when it's ready. Don't answer any questions directly. If anyone asks you a question you don't want to answer, just say, I can't answer that or something. You know, don't do what... what some companies do and just everybody just running their fucking mouths, and then you end up in a load of trouble and fans go, you promised us this.
It's a bit of an evolution with companies, though. I think when they release their first title and they're not set up, you know, completely 100% efficiently to handle the release of that and everything that goes with it sort of thing, you probably will get people talking about stuff that maybe they shouldn't be talking about or whatever. But then I think when these companies sort of progress on, they get a couple of like IPs under them and stuff, it changes, right? Then they start becoming like a little bit more tight with their information and stuff. Because if they're working on a project that's going to take like 4 years for them to release,
right,
you can't let people know about it beforehand, because, you know, it's still competition. It's still an industry that they operate in. And if they've got this great idea that's going to take them a long time to implement, you know, somebody else could come along and do it in half the time and beat them to it sort of thing. So they got to be super careful.
I mean, if you look at the Vive took like years to come out.
Yeah.
And when it finally did come out, you know, it was like, it was ready. It was definitely ready. I mean, I'm very happy with my one. I'm waiting for some killer apps for it, but it's like,
oh yeah, get some dating simulators if they have any.
Shower with your dad VR edition.
Those boobs are so soft and realistic. It's just, you're there like against the wall with like two cushions like strapped to
it. Like, oh, you can feel them.
So I think, yeah, like you said, it's a bit of an evolution. I think that Valve has existed for a long time and they found that they just don't need like these certain things. Or, I mean, I think Valve works because it's partly because it's been going on for such a long time, partly because of the people who work there have to have the right mindset for it.
Yeah.
Where they, I feel like they're a little bit like gentleman scientists. Okay. they're almost like, they kind of don't have to do anything, but they like to and they want to sort of do stuff. They come into work and they're like, oh, what should I work on today? Oh, let's work on this cool thing that's going to be really good and do that. And I think as a result, some things fall by the wayside, but as a result, you get these incredibly innovative, creative things coming out that make up for that. And it's kind of something which you've heard about before. Like you hear about companies saying, oh, on Fridays, every Friday, just don't, you know, everyone come in and don't do anything. Just do whatever you want to do on Fridays.
Ooh,
and,
what companies do
well,
that?
Well, I think that was Google.
Cisco Industries Limited, for instance.
but I think, what was it that came out of that? Was it Gmail or was it Google Drive? There's some famous thing at Google that was very successful, came out of these Fridays where people were just like, I'm just going to do what I want to do today.
A lot of stuff has come out of Google from that. That's with creative jobs, you can't just pigeonhole people into like 9-to-5 strict. You have to sit on your chair all day and you can only have 1 hour for lunch at 1 o'clock and stuff. You know, like I think if you let people go off and have time and flexibility to do stuff.
I mean, you can get robots to do that job.
Exactly.
If you've got jobs where you might as well be replaced by a robot, then there's no point. But if you've got jobs that require a quarter of a brain, then you know, people are smart and a really valuable resource, and they're often, like, I found it working here that, you know, it's worth investing in people because they'll pay you back in the ways that you don't expect.
Yeah.
You know, you can't look at someone and say, oh, you know, I pay him 30K, so he better make me 50K of dildos that I can shift on fucking, you know, dildos.com/
They'll pay you back podcast. In ways you don't expect, like a sneaky hand job under the desk, that kind of stuff.
So no, I it was really, really interesting, and I kind of don't want to say any more about it other than like I think it was a little bit culture shock for me to go there, right?
Yeah,
because it was so, even though we have a sort of similar structure in our office, i.e. a lot of but for us it's different because the reason that it kind of works here is because a lot of the people in this office are kind of independent.
Yeah.
But also we don't have any managers, we don't have any bosses either, particularly other than me and Terps. And Terps is almost never here and I don't know any answers. So
what does Terps do when he's not in the office? Where is he?
He's kind of, well, he's
watching superhero movies by himself.
He's playing Hearthstone. No, Terps is busy doing 101 things, like, you know. So, and
he always seems busy when I'm there. Or is it just when I'm there, everyone looks busy because they think the old man is here?
There's like, somebody, we got a guest.
Yeah.
We got
the visit from the old man.
That's
the
it.
Old man's in today, meaning the owner. Who's this guy? What does he do? You're fired. Wait, you do something important? You're hired. You're at half price.
Exactly.
I'd love to be that guy. I'd love to be that
Even
guy.
Though kind of we have a, well, because there's a lot of independent people, they are kind of working for themselves.
Right.
And at Valve, it feels like a lot of the time people are kind of, I'd love to share some of the little anecdotes we've got, but, you know, like walking around and seeing some of these people, asking what they're working on. and having one guy tracking down, you know, Chinese key resellers and shutting them down, or, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like, I think they sometimes, it looks to me like they're just having fun.
Yeah.
Man, like, you know, it seems like a really, 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 it's a really good environment to like foster.
Yeah, it is. It's creativity. Very cool being in the offices. It's, yeah. You really feel like you're, like, it doesn't feel like, you said, it doesn't feel like it's like 9 to 5. Like, I've been to Mrs. F's office and it's just everybody staring at the screen, just tapping away and yeah. phones and work. Yeah. And it feels like work is happening. Work is being done. Mm. And then you go to Valve and you're like, everyone just seems to be hanging out. And it seems really cool.
A lot
and nice.
Of those places, it's the illusion of work, though. I mean, we've talked about this
well, yeah,
so many times.
But the thing is, because if you go back to Valve a year later, they're like, oh, let me show you this. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You guys have been busy. Like, they actually, they're doing work, but it's not the kind of work where you can walk around and just hear like a massive call center where you can just, the sound of work being done.
And
a Valve, you walk around, there's a guy drinking a coffee, looking out a window, and a year later, boom, there's the Vive or whatever. It's like,
I think the big problem with Valve, though, is that the work that you expect to be done sometimes isn't done, though. Like, because it's...
What, like the Battle Pass for Dota?
Well, like, you know, that's out now, though, isn't it? And also...
It is out now.
I think also, it's more the... Like, don't they have Valve time or whatever, which is... You
ready
know,
when it's ready, yeah.
exactly.
Soon TM.
And I mean,
that
that's kind of a part and parcel of the... Of the environment and of the thing, it's like they'll say, "I'll have a look at this thing we're doing," and then we'll be like, "Oh, that's interesting." And then a year later, they'll say, "Oh, here, it's done," and we'll be like, "What's done?" And they're like, "This thing we've been working on," and we'll be like, "But that's not what you were working on a year ago."
Yeah,
that
was. I mean, the thing is that, like, you know, it does come with a guarantee. There's obviously like a high standard, like the you know, the stuff that they do release is often very good.
It's iconic. I mean, it is. Yeah. Like Half-Life. Portal, Dota, CSGO.
I mean, I can see a parallel with, for example, with us, with Shadow of Israel, because, you know, that was obviously our
okay.
Well, that was like...
okay.
Shut up, Sips. I think it's true, though. I mean, I can see, like, we stopped doing it because it had to be up to a certain standard, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it was, like, became this incredible... like weight around
a
our
burden.
Neck.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And everyone who originally was passionate about it had moved on to two other things that they were passionate about.
Yeah.
And they'd gotten tired of making this thing. And so I was left on my own thinking, okay, how do I get people to do this? And the only answer really is to find people who are passionate about it and want to do it.
Yeah.
And certainly...
I'm going to level with you. I don't even really know what it was.
Well, so it was our YouTube series that we did back in the day in Minecraft. And it was... It was kind of a story, plus it was world building. It was kind of
But it was, you were playing Minecraft, right?
Yeah, but it was kind of all scripted in a sense. Like we had a lot of people coming in and playing almost actors in game. So originally, like, it was kind of like this thing where we had other people, other of our friends playing as characters. And it was kind of like we created this kind of living world with a story in it that Simon didn't know anything about what was happening. So it was a little bit like doing D&D, I guess.
Right.
In Minecraft. And this was like, you know, 7 or 8 years ago now. But every time I go to an event, every time anyone meets me, anytime I open a piece of fan mail, it's like, when's, you know, what happened to Shadow of Israel? When's the next episode of Shadow of Israel coming out? It's one of these things that I feel kind of, like, it's constantly nagging me,
yeah.
And I'm powerless to do anything about it, and frustrated about it, because I feel like, and even if we, and the longer it goes on, the worse it gets, right? Because it's like, well, it's been 7 years now since we did that. You know, how is what about our new audience? Are they going to remember it? Are they going to play it? Like with Valve, like, you know, how many people are you going to meet that have never played Half-Life 2? And, you know, didn't grow up with Half-Life 2 like we did? How many people have come along since then? And also, is this still a thing on YouTube that works? Like, is this narrative Minecraft content going to be what people are interested in seeing? Probably not, you know. So you know, if Valve were to release, you know, episode 3 of Half-Life 2 or whatever, or if they were to release, you know, if they were to start working on Half-Life 3, where would they start? Like, how would it be like a kind of a thing that they could and think about how much pressure and demand there is to get it right, you know, when you're a company like Valve and you've got this incredibly high standard. Like, how much polish does it need? And you know, I can imagine, like, for us, like, when we if I was to try and make our thing, which is nothing compared to it, right? Nothing, you know, it needs talented coders and stuff, and I'm just an idiot. But, you know, it's a very daunting task in my mind to try and do Shadow of Israel, which is why I haven't done it. And so, you know, yeah, you may well laugh, Sips, that you know, I'm trying to compare myself to the most successful games company of one of them all time.
But he is, and he's right.
Some parallels there. Fine.
I know
there,
what you
there
mean.
Are parallels.
I welcome know to, parallels. You're welcome to take
we
that
We get
away.
You. It's just funny because you said, yeah, you know, Valve and Shadows of Israel.
It was just the delivery.
It was great.
More than the actual content, I guess.
Well, it's interesting. So we went to Valve. I think everything we've said is probably okay.
Yeah, we haven't really said anything. It's probably fine.
Yeah.
We watched a lot of movies while we were there, Flax.
What did you watch Avengers Infinity War?
We did.
Yeah.
IMAX 3D.
Okay. Warning, we're not gonna do any spoilers.
No.
Okay, promise.
Okay.
But it's a good fucking movie and I really enjoyed it.
I did too, yeah. I'm not like a huge fan of superhero movies. Like I was saying on stream yesterday, there's so many superhero movies that I haven't seen. Like I've never seen a Guardians of the Galaxy or...
Oh, they're really good.
I haven't seen any of the Iron
Doctor
Man
Strange
movies.
Doctor Strange is really good. You haven't seen any of the Iron
I
Man movies?
I haven't seen Thor.
So,
I haven't seen shit.
So honestly, like Sips has never seen a Marvel movie, basically.
What the fuck?
I think he's seen
Netflix series though. I like those. I like Daredevil and Jessica Jones.
They're not in Infinity War though.
Like, I know, the point is that but like they're still Marvel,
Infinity
right?
Infinity War is the last, like what well, the last one, but a sort of a setup relying on the last sort of 20 films.
I can't believe
you
watched Infinity
backstory.
War having not seen any of the previous movies. Like you're going to be completely lost.
No, I haven't seen that. Thor, Ragnarok. Well,
he hasn't seen any of the Thor. He hasn't seen any of the Iron Man. He hasn't seen the new Spider-Man. He hasn't seen Black Panther. I don't think you've seen a single one.
Terps wanted me to see it because he was like, I want to see what it's like for somebody who doesn't watch these movies, like what they think of it sort of thing. And I thought it was pretty good. It was entertaining. Like the effects and stuff were awesome.
Yeah.
It was very funny at parts. Like it was just a good movie. I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
I liked
there
it a
go.
Lot too.
So if you're into Marvel or not, we recommend Infinity.
Some of the characters I didn't know, like, at all. Like, I didn't realize
and you turned
that,
to me and you were like, oh, he could do that. That's cool. And I was like, okay.
This guy's like a spider and a man. That's unbelievable.
Some of them just seemed to just be pulled out of someone's ass somewhere. Like,
like who?
Well, like that Vision guy. What the fuck? Like, he just seemed like...
You have to have seen the movie, you wad.
He just seemed like a total Z-lister from like the 60s
No,
or something.
He's like super powerful.
Yeah, he didn't seem that powerful in that movie.
Oh,
like, my whole sort of recollection of that guy was just crying all the time, basically.
I feel
he
like
was.
It was, yeah, pretty rough. I feel like the movie was a little bit like a slash who would ask slash who would win. Do you know what I mean? Like I think like when you smush all these people together, it's like, oh, who's
the
most powerful?
It's the culmination of literally years of Marvel movies.
No,
and you know what? I've watched them all. Apart from I haven't seen Black Panther yet, but I've watched all the other ones multiple times. And the fact it was building up to this, I think, is really cool. And the payoff was worth it. It's like the payoff for all these years of movie watching and the little hints and the building of the universe and everything. And I mean, I read Marvel comics when I was a kid, and I read like, you know, not the Infinity War, but there was another war. This one was with Galactus. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, it was like the same shit. Like the front of the comic was just all the fucking heroes in the universe.
I remember Galactus. I used to read some of the comics when I was younger. I used to collect the cards as well, the Marvel cards.
Right. You know, they don't have access to Galactus.
Yeah, it's like some...
Sony
it's like
owns
Sony
Galactus,
or Fox
right.
or something. Terps was telling me, apparently it's the same deal with Silver Surfer. They can't do
anything
with
them. Yeah, they can't have Silver Surfer, who is the herald of Galactus. That was the whole, so he's the guy who turns up and says, yo, you're fucked on a surfboard, which is like the most bro thing I can think of. That's why Silver Surfer was always kind of a dig. He's like, yo, what's up? Surfs on your planet. And just goes, oh, yo, you're fucked. Galactus is coming and shit. Whoa, hang tight, y'all. Just fucking pieces on his surfboard.
And apparently, because while we were in Seattle, we went to this Marvel exhibit. They had it at the Museum of Popular Culture.
Right.
Which is pretty good. It had like a bunch of the costumes and some like art and like early stuff and whatever. And I was reading the bit about Guardians of the Galaxy, and apparently it's like they completely reinvented it, like for modern audiences, because like the characters were just old and they didn't really feature much or do much, and it was a completely different
thing. And then I guess a couple of guys got together and just sort of like reinvented them recently, like for the movie adaptations or whatever.
What, the heroes?
I think so, yeah. I was just
Yeah, like, I mean, like if you look at superhero movies prior to X-Men, the first X-Men movie, which was not a Marvel production, that was Sony, I think. Because again, all the X-Men are, it's a Sony slash Fox thing, right? So Marvel, there are no X-Men. Like Wolverine and the X-Men, none of them showed up in Infinity War or any of the extended universe, which is crazy.
And Fantastic Four is the same, isn't it?
The Fantastic Four. And I mean, in all this stuff in the comics, of course, like, you know, Reed Richards is like front and center because he's like the smartest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
So he would be the guy saying, this is what I'm going to do. And they've kind of passed that role on to Doctor Strange, even though he definitely wouldn't have been that sort of much of an influence and everything like that.
He was so pretty cool, though. I liked that. I haven't seen the actual Doctor Strange movie.
It's very, very good. We watched it the other day with the kids, and they really enjoyed it. But
okay.
It's very cool. And I think the thing is, the comics were actually pretty cheesy. Like, there are some great bits. Don't get me wrong. I love the comics. But the idea of just taking those and sticking them straight on the screen, no. You have to adapt this shit. You've got a completely different audience than you had 50 years ago when these comics were made.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So a lot of the time people are complaining, I thought the Vision was miscast because his relationship with so-and-so and blah, blah, in episode 47 of The Incredible Hulk, when Hulk reveals that he likes Pop-Tarts, I preferred that episode to the movie. It's like, no, you can't do that. You're talking about literally decades worth of comics, and they've had to bore them down to a two-hour movie. So they take the essence of the character, they modernize them a bit, they're a bit more smart-talking and funny. Like, Thor is not like Thor in the comics at all.
Mm.
Like, Thor is a super boring, try-hard warrior type.
Yeah, he's like, pretty funny in the movie.
Right. I mean, Thor Ragnarok, man, is literally a comedy. It's not a superhero movie at all. It's a comedy movie, but with superheroes in.
That bald guy from Guardians of the Galaxy actually killed me. I was crying with laughter. It was
Guardians of the Galaxy is like a prime example. They took a comic that was kind of subversive and funny-ish, but it wasn't like Deadpool, which was like completely subversive and different. Guardians of the Galaxy was kind of, I mean, they completely revamped it as, we should make these characters funny, and they got a funny actors in, and they have great lines and stuff. I mean, he's hilarious, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've leaned into the comedy sort of aspect of it because it's done really well. I mean, Thor Ragnarok is a great example of basically just a comedy superhero movie, really.
Yeah.
It's just really funny throughout and really fun. I mean, yeah, they do continually reboot these things in different ways. I mean, Spider-Man's like been rebooted like six or seven times. You know, it feels.
But they finally
like
got it right. Spider-Man: Homecoming is legit a good superhero movie. Like, I really enjoyed it.
I found Spider-Man in Infinity War, without spoiling anything, because like, and again, being the last time I saw a Spider-Man movie was the one with fucking Kirsten Dunst in it, like the, you know, the first one.
Tobey Maguire. Sam Raimi directed it. Yeah, yeah.
So and Spider-Man in that was okay, I guess. Like, you know, he's just sort of like did his thing. But I found the Spider-Man in Infinity War, it was like watching Batman and Robin. Like, he was just like, he just seemed so sort of like, hey guys, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to fight crime.
Well, they definitely aged him down, but that's knowing that Spider-Man is the biggest selling merch by a long way in their universe.
Oh, so they have to like,
and
sort
so
of
it's
make him
kids, and it's kids, it's and, every kid, yeah, you know, loves Spider-Man. It's a huge.
Also, Spider-Man is meant to be like that. He's meant to be that age and that kind of smart talking. He's in danger, but he doesn't even really seem to. He's just a wisecracking. Like, that was what Spidey always was. Like, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. He wasn't meant to be like a badass. And so in later issues, when he got like the Venom suit, I'm nerding out here, but anyway, when he gets like the Venom suit, it gets all these darker timelines and shit like that. They tried to make him, I think they thought that in the 90s, because comics suddenly got all different in the 90s. Like, there was a big change. In the 80s, the comics were all just fresh, and they had the comic code of conduct and stuff on the stamp on the cover, so the parents knew there'd be no swearing or nudity or anything like that. And then you got into the 90s and the 2000s, and they had a new audience. And the movies are a reflection of that.
Well, I think it's because,
although it's a newer audience.
It's a little bit like the kids growing up with it, though. Like, I feel like that happened to Harry Potter as well, right? As the Harry Potter movies and books went on, the audience who was watching them grew up with them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it kind of had to grow more adult as a result. But when it comes to nowadays, like, it's a bit strange for a kid who's, let's say, 11 to start with Harry Potter, because the first ones are maybe a little bit too young and the last one's maybe a little bit too old, you know, and it's so, yeah. So reading the series is kind of, they don't really have a very consistent tone across
what
the series.
What age did you start at with Harry Potter? What was it, like 26, 27?
Yeah, probably.
I've never read the books.
No, me
I watched
neither.
The movies.
Yeah. I didn't grow up with Harry Potter because actually I was fully grown by the time it came out.
Yeah, so. I was having sex and smoking and getting drunk. So.
That doesn't mean you can't enjoy this stuff.
Sure
We've
does.
Been through this stuff. Just because you like Star Wars, don't you?
Hmm? Which ones?
Hmm? Yeah, I liked it when I was a kid.
Kids film?
Yeah, I grew up
I don't
it.
Watch the old Star Wars very often. Like, if they're on TV, I might stick them on. Try and get the kids into Star Wars just because I think it's good education in movie history and shit. But
yeah.
I'm not sitting around wanking about Star Wars all day.
Well, a lot of grown-ass men are. And then they complain when their new Star Wars movies are a bit kid-friendy. They're like, oh. This
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's ridiculous. It's a new audience. It's a product. If you think it's some holy grail... Guess what? Disney owns that shit now. And you can go back and be nostalgic about Star Wars all you like.
Yeah.
But they're just going to make movies. That's it. And I've seen a lot of reviewers say, oh my God, it's just going to be Disney. We're going to have Star Wars. You're going to be sick of Star Wars. And I'm
did you
probably.
Did you see that Solo, the new Star Wars movie?
I've seen the trailer, yeah. Yeah.
And have you seen Donald Glover's new music video thing?
I've seen it, yeah.
I saw that too,
This
yeah.
is America.
This is America.
Holy
Guns
shit.
In my area. It was something else, right?
Yeah. That
like,
was,
I mean, I think everybody went nuts for it.
I saw it last night and I was like, I was just blown away. He's just dancing, like just the video of him, just it's amazing.
It's
very compelling.
He just, yeah.
I don't think it's not sending as complex a message as people seem to be making out.
No, I don't think
I think it's a pretty straightforward message.
Yeah.
And the song is okay. Like the song, it's okay.
The song's
it's not my
okay.
favorite Donald Glover song.
No.
My favorite, you know, Gambino song, but it's decent.
But just watching him, like, just.
Yeah, the video is something else. It's very artistic.
Yeah, I was just, yeah. Man, really good. Just him all like sweaty and fucking running around. Man, I was thinking.
You liked that, did you?
Yeah, I liked it. And so, I mean, that's maybe weirdly. I think he's the only thing I'm excited for in the new Star Wars movie. Because I've heard
he's cool. I mean, he's multi-talented.
Have you
dude,
seen Atlanta? That's pretty good. He's in that.
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I've
it's
heard
very
good. Things
good
about it.
Good,
I do want to watch it.
Because I mean, I watched all of Community, and he was really good in that. And I remember really enjoying Community. If you haven't seen,
so,
it.
But all the stuff like he's not just that guy, is he? Like we haven't seen Abed again. I haven't seen the guy who played Abed. Doing much.
Yeah, that's
the guy,
true.
What is his name? Joel McHale. He hasn't done as well. Donald Glover was like the guy to come out of that series with the most stuff going on now. Like he's gone from Community to being bigger than when he was on Community.
Well,
he's
I mean, I guess Dan Harmon's doing Rick and Morty and stuff, you know, so that's like.
Right, but he wasn't on the camera, is what I'm saying. I'm talking about the acting talent.
It's
right?
True. Like, yeah. I mean, Alison Brie's done.
Was it Brie? Alison Brie?
Stuff.
She's hot as well. I'm a big Alison Brie fan. Let me just Google Alison Brie just to remind myself. Brie? Ah, it's spelled like the cheese.
How hard is she on the Hurley scale?
What are we talking? Which era Hurley are we talking about?
Any. I mean,
we're talking Liz Hurley in that movie where she played the devil.
She's fine all the time.
What was it I saw Alison Brie in? I think I saw her in
Hurley.
In the Post.
Let's see, IMDb.
The Washington Post movie, The Post. It's good. I quite enjoyed that.
Sweet. Good God.
What are you looking at now? Liz Hurley. Again.
Liz Hurley is the devil. Bedazzled. Yeah.
I'm actually just looking at a Google image.
It's like you're every 3 months you search up.
She has lots of pictures of her in her bathing suit, which is...
Oh, yeah. There's one of her as like a giant woman in a bathing suit pointing a trident at him. That's pretty fucking hot.
What are you looking at now? What are you looking at? What's
pictures
happening?
Of Liz Hurley.
Literally
what
just pictures
a guy
of
with,
Liz Hurley.
There's a guy in with a trident?
She's got a trident. This is when the devil is super angry with Brendan Fraser. She's Satan, right? And she did it. Have you not seen Bedazzled?
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
It's really good. So it's a remake of a Dust. What was his
it's
name?
A remake?
Yeah, it's
how
a remake.
How old is it?
Oh, it's from the 90s, this movie. It was Brendan Fraser when he was not looking like he was about to die. You know, it's like this is like.
Why,
Brendan
is he
Fraser,
dying?
This is probably his. No, but he looks like he's going to die.
Oh,
so this is like. Well. He's a regular schlub. He can't get this girl he likes, and he does a deal with the devil, played by Liz Hurley, in her best role, and looking the hottest she's ever looked, I'll tell you that. And the deal is that he's going to wish for stuff, and she's going to give him, like, a taste of this other life. But, of course, because she's the devil, there's always a twist, all right? And at the end or something, she owns his soul if there's some kind of fuck-up anyway. So it's a good movie. It's a really good comedy, and Brendan Fraser's very funny.
It was directed by Egon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he directs a lot of stuff.
He did. He died, sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was... He was. Dope.
He did sorts of stuff. Groundhog Day and Bedazzled, and yeah, he did a bunch of movies, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
I watched Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story movie, the one with John C. Reilly in it.
Oh, yeah?
And you know, have you ever see that one where he's like a kind of like a country west... It's sort of like a Johnny Cash sort of... spoof thing.
I've heard about it. Any good?
Fuck yeah, it was really funny. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was on the American Netflix while we were in Seattle. I just was, as you do, browsing through Netflix trying to find something to watch. It's like Anchorman funny sort of thing, you know? Like,
right.
It's supposed to be sort of a parody of the Johnny Cash movie biopic.
Yeah.
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's good.
But John C. Reilly is very hit and miss, I think. A lot of his stuff feels like
Fucking hilarious, though, man. He's such a good actor too. Like, it's crazy, but he's very funny in like Tim and Eric and a bunch of other stuff. I watched that
Talladega Nights.
I watched that as well because it was like, you know, oh, you watch this, you'll probably like this. I was like, oh, okay. So I watched that too. That's pretty good.
Some of those recommendations are fucking hilarious.
And then I watched all of on the flight back home. The flight back home went so fucking quick because I downloaded all of Dirty Money on Netflix.
Okay.
Which was like 7 hours. It's like it's like a documentary series about like you know, scams and scandals. Like they had like the Volkswagen emissions scandal. They had like the payday loan scandal. There was an episode on a maple syrup heist in Canada, and, which was really weird, but it's still interesting. And there's an episode on Trump, just like sort of talking about some of like the weird shady shit that he did sort of in the 90s when he sort of almost blew all his money and went bankrupt sort of thing. And the lead up to him sort of like running for president and everything too. It was really good. If you want to watch something good on Netflix, fucking Dirty Money is excellent. I really liked it. I watched every episode back to back on the flight home.
Damn.
Can I ask you a question, Sips, as a Canadian? I'm trying to understand something.
Right.
Okay. I'm trying to understand Nardwuar the human serviette. You know this guy, right?
It sounds familiar, but
is it imagine a guy who eats stuff again?
No. He's an interviewer. He interviews like musicians. He interviews rappers a lot. So he's got like he wears like a Scottish style
yes,
bonnet
yes,
with a thing on the top. He's got long hair.
Yes, this guy. Yeah.
Nardwuar the human serviette. I don't understand like why he's seen as such a. I mean, I think he's hilarious, but it surprises me that this guy would be popular because he's such a weird guy, and it seems like a very Canadian thing.
So yeah, he was on Much Music. So Much Music in Canada was Canadian MTV, basically. It had its own channel, like its own cable channel. And he was that's where I remember him from. He was on he's on Much Music, like as I was growing up, sort of thing. But he wasn't on it tons. Like he would just appear and do like the odd interview here and there, sort of thing.
Like that guy with the dog. What was the talking dog interviews where the microphone is in like a paw? Have you seen that one?
And the Triumph, dog's wearing a cigar.
Triumph for the talking
the
insult
comedy
dog. Right?
Insult comedy dog. Yeah, that was.
Triumph is hilarious.
Fuck, it's so funny. Yeah, the guy that did Triumph worked with Conan O'Brien on a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
But he did a whole bunch of skits for Saturday Night Live. Like he did like the Ambiguously Gay Duo skit. Did you ever see that the cartoon for that? It was really funny. It was like from the 90s. And then he did Saturday TV Funhouse as well, which was just fucking, it was a bit like Wundershowsen. You ever see Wundershowsen?
No.
It was just a little
bit. Is it a bit like, what was that show with Bob Odenkirk and
they're all from the same sort of, those guys all have worked together in the past and done stuff together. And they all have a very similar sense of humor and stuff. And it's a little bit sort of out there, but very, very funny. It's, you know, it's sort of like Tim and Eric now, but this is like back in the, you know, like in the like 90s, going into the late 90s sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, there was a character called Ed the Sock from a show called Ed's Night Party, which is a show that I think most people have forgotten.
Holy
you know what the
crap.
Weird thing is? I feel like a lot of these shows, you remember Ed the Sock?
Yeah.
So a lot of these shows in the 90s, there seemed to be a lot more comedy sketch shows given to just a random dude or a couple of people. It's like, just go and make a sketch show. And I don't see so many sketch shows now. And I'm not sure why. I mean, Key and Peele came along, but that was like an internet thing that they then went to Comedy Central, right? But where is the next Triumph the Insult Comic Dog? Where is the next Nardwuar the Human Serviette? I think people are putting too much faith in vlogging and shit.
Maybe this is
getting a fucking sketch show out there.
It's just the way that things change. And,
maybe this is a Valve thing, right? Maybe it's too many people being control freaks and not enough like just seeing talent and saying, hey, you, make a funny thing.
You're funny.
Do whatever
make a show.
You want.
And there's like a whole bunch of stuff that comes through like Adult Swim and stuff that's a bit like that. You know, they get stuff that isn't like your sort of mainstream story. Lewis, I don't know what the hell happened in Seattle, but I am burping like all the time, like since I've been home. I don't know what's happened to my innards. Like, they're just completely fucked. Anyway.
Do you know what I think it is? I actually blame The Simpsons, because I think most stuff that people are making nowadays seems to be some fucking animated show.
Yeah.
And I think everybody saw The Simpsons and said, it has to be animated. And everything's animated now. Well, That's what I think it is.
I think in a lot of ways, though, like, especially if your comedy is like more out there and harder for actual people to portray it, it's much easier, obviously, to animate something, right? You know, like, because otherwise, if you have to like start dressing people up in costumes and getting sets and stuff like that, you know, like sketch.
But you don't need that for it to be funny, right?
Like, you don't need it, but it just depends on the type of comedy. You know, if you're going for like a very very sort of like visual sort of slapstick sort of thing that relies on a lot of stuff like that, it might just be easier to do it animated.
Maybe.
You know?
I think comedy, I mean, in the UK, comedy is fucking dead as a doornail. It makes me so sad.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I've seen recently that is still not great, but sometimes makes me laugh.
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
No, it's not that, Mrs. Brown's Boys. Fuck me, I can't handle that show
at all.
I
mean, there was always shit like that. Like, I don't think Mrs. Brown's Boys is, like, a bad thing. It's my most hated show, but if loads of fucking people like it, that's the shit they should be fucking putting on TV.
Well,
People want to watch you put it on TV.
What's that show that with Lee Mack in it? The one where he's like a dad and he's got a wife and it's not a great show. Okay, I'm not recommending it, but, I mean, in terms of what's actually out there in Britain right now for comedy
shows.
It's
just all panel shows.
And the thing is with this show too, I find that they try to put a joke in every fucking piece of dialogue. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and it becomes actually tiresome after a while. Cause it's just like, oh, just, you know, lead up to something that's really funny instead of just constantly sniping like every fucking sentence for like a one-liner or joke or some witty retort or whatever.
There are a few shows. Friday Night Dinners. I recommend that if you have never heard of it. It's very good. It's got Tamsin Gregan. It's got the guy who was in... it's got two of the guys, actually, that were in The Inbetweeners. The two sort of main guys as brothers. And the gist of it is they go to their parents' house for dinner on a Friday night. Because they're Jewish, so it's like the Friday night dinner thing.
Right.
And it's very, very, very funny. And it's sweet because it's like you get to know the family. So a lot of the jokes are the kind of thing that you can imagine your parents or your dad or your mom or your grandmother doing something like that. It's like the jokes are, they're not just making jokes about some politician or some celebrity like a lot of the panel shows do. They just pick a celebrity that people know that is associated with a thing and bam, that's a punchline right there, right? Like this is actual comedy. So that's good. The Detectorists is very, very good.
I've watched
that. You can watch that on iPlayer.
That was quite fun. It was very English, very much so. Good though. Good English.
Very good.
It's got Mackenzie Crook in it.
He actually wrote and directed it. I didn't know he did that. But
did he?
He did. Yeah, he did. And I mean, I thought The Detectorist was great. I'd like more shit like that. Like the stuff that, you know, where is the Blackadder of this generation?
You know what I find funny and I watch like fairly often? I watch Have I Got News For You. Fuck, I love that show.
That's a good show.
It's
like
so
the original
fucking funny.
Show, right?
Holy shit. Yeah. Like it's a show that can still actually get like gut laughs for me like almost consistently every week.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
I mean, I just think that they're still making Alan Partridge stuff. They're still making fucking Red Dwarf. Just let it die, for the love of God.
Wow, they really?
You need the new ones of these. You need to find the next people who are going to make you something that, like Red Dwarf, people love and has legs, right? Something like Blackadder that people still fucking watch. Where is that coming from? And I don't see it. And I just think whatever is happening in comedy, the BBC has to be at the forefront because they can actually gamble, right? You've got all your main shows, you've got your fucking Strictlys, you've got your Mrs. Browns, all this shit. Fucking find some budget for some guys and just say, just make something. And find some actual funny people.
The IT crowd was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was okay.
That was pretty funny.
Series one was good. I think it fucking seriously dipped after that, but Jesus.
No, I don't remember.
It's something, right? At least it's something.
At least it was something, yeah. Hmm. But yeah, I know what you
it's
mean.
It's something.
Man, I've been watching the most recent season of Curb Your Enthusiasm because I didn't
That's
even realize
show.
It came out. And holy shit, like, yeah, just consistently, I can't think of one season that's actually bad in that show. It's just really funny.
Is that the one where he has to go before the Islamic Council to decide whether to lift the
yes,
fatwa?
Yes,
I got a fatwa, I got a fatwa, like that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it's really good.
His friend tells him, well, he meets up with Salman Rushdie for lunch, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Fatwa sex, the best sex.
I love when he goes to Funkhauser's new girlfriend's house and she serves them tap water. Yeah. He's like, is this tap water? She's like, well, yeah. And then the whole thing goes through and everybody hates the tap water. And then, you know, when they do like the accidental on purpose text,
right.
She finds out that Marty's done one to her and she's like, do you like my water, Marty? No! No! It tastes like I put a straw in a frog's ass! It makes me barf every time I drink it! Oh, fuck, it was so funny.
You know the
funny.
Guy who plays Marty Funkhauser? I didn't know this. He was like
He was
in
Super
the 80s.
Dave Osborne.
He was Super Dave. I had no idea.
You didn't know that?
Hilarious.
Fucking Super Dave was pretty funny.
That.
I was telling my wife
so
about
old.
Super Dave because she like you guys just didn't get it over here, I don't think.
Well,
it used to be on TV
that?
For us, and it was such a fucking weird show. I was really young, but me and my friend used to watch it, and we found it funny, but the humor was not like super mainstream humor back
transfer.
Then.
It doesn't transfer, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, very weird show, but it was like, he was basically like a sort of like
a terrible stuntman,
a bumbling Evel Knievel sort of thing. Like, you know, like they'd have this huge build up to like his big stunt at the end of the show, and it was always a massive failure. But, like, the production was hilarious because, you know, it would be that they'd shoot him out of a cannon. But, like, so you'd see him getting into the cannon and then it would just shoot, like, this fucking floppy mannequin out of the cannon with, like, his voice over going, ooh. Oh, fuck. It was pretty funny. But, yeah, it's, like, a very 80s show for sure.
So kind of the Evel Knievel era.
Yeah, he was pretty big, like, in the 70s, wasn't he? Like, that. I think it was.
I mean, the Evel Knievel was like a thing. There were guys and like that back then. That there were celebrities because they did shit like jumping over a gorge.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle, yeah. Right? Like the Simpsons reference.
There's Simpsons episodes about
right.
it. Yeah.
Super Dave was a reference to it. Like these were like cultural. Everybody knew Evel Knievel. Like everybody knew Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
And I think celebrities have been replaced. Like everybody now knows Kim Kardashian, who is famous for what, right?
What
like
the
there's a difference
you know,
in what people think fame is now.
What the fuck, BBC? Like you've got your Miss Brown boy. Where's the stunt show? Why don't
we
have
a
weekly
fucking
stunt show? Jeez.
People would
what
love that.
What happened to stunt shows? They're gone. There's no
everybody
stunt
knows
shows
Ninja
anymore.
Warrior, right? You know Ninja Warrior. Let's have a fucking stunt show every week. There's a big stunt. They have all this set up. They tell us what's going to happen. The dude does a stunt. Sometimes he gets fucked up.
Remember,
awesome.
Remember Gladiators? That was fucking great, too. Holy shit. They tried to bring it back a couple of times.
I don't know whether these things were ever great or whether we just thought they were great.
Yeah, when I was 10, everything was great. So that's why I look back.
I think there was nothing else on, though, as well. Like, I think we are spoiled these days by so much choice, right? Like there wasn't that much choice before, and we were able to pick.
There was plenty on back then, though. You'd be surprised. Like,
the Cannon and Ball show, Little Large show.
Go look back, like, in the early 90s, late 80s, and look at primetime TV. There was some fucking belters on, like you know, regularly.
And there was also a lot of shit.
Yeah, there was.
I mean,
yeah.
The A-Team was primetime television.
Mr. Belvedere. Remember Mr. Belvedere?
No, I don't remember.
God
Mr.
damn.
Belvedere.
But I'm guess what I'm saying was that, I guess what I'm saying is nowadays we have hundreds of more shows. We have multiple streaming platforms competing
yeah,
with regular TV.
It's old shit.
Well, no, but there's a lot of great
shows
out there, though.
It's House Do-Up shows, or it's UK Gold or Dave. They just show the same old shit.
But
people still watch.
I mean,
it.
I boot up Netflix, right? And I have what's it called? Where you have too much choice, right? And you can't pick.
Oh, that's that is just the Netflix thing, though, isn't it? I remember like occasionally on a Saturday or something. You know, if I didn't feel like doing anything else, you know, my wife would take the kids somewhere or with her mom or something, and they'd be like, oh, you know, we'll be back in a couple hours, so, you know, just find something to do. Okay, great. Yeah, I'll find something to do. Fucking pick up my iPad, look on Netflix, and I literally spent the whole time they were gone browsing Netflix. Like, I couldn't find a single thing that I could commit to watch.
There's a lot of shit on there,
so
man.
You're just constantly looking through.
I mean, I wish Netflix was better, the organized and kind of clearer. And I can see why they've added the sort of the trailers thing that autoplay to kind of get you into a series. Because although I hate that, I also understand that maybe helps to overcome that over-choice scenario of... And apparently the way you're supposed to overcome it is... If you're taking your girlfriend out or whatever, and you're like, oh, where shall we go? That's kind of like too vague a question and also too much choice. So you need to bring it down to like two or three choices. You'd be like,
I love
okay.
the way you've read something about how to make choices.
Oh, I know, yeah.
That's such a Lewis thing to do. I can't make a choice. There must be a article about
how do
how
I control
make
my
choices.
Woman better? Let me just read up. Hang on. Let me just... consult these seven Wikipedia articles I have.
Do you know what the real secret to Netflix is? That there are hidden codes for genres, and it'll sometimes have movies that aren't listed on the main page.
Right.
Ooh. You can Google this, and you can look at, you type in the address, and it'll take you to a page for genres that it doesn't just list automatically. So these are like the hidden genres, and there's actually a lot of movies there. You're like, Jesus, I had no idea this was there. A lot of them are shit, but there are a lot of old movies that they just don't put up front. Because it's always trying to recommend, right? It's always saying, oh, you liked Die Hard? Well, maybe you'll like this Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I'm like, no.
I find on
the
Netflix,
hidden genres.
Netflix and Prime now, they have like an ass end, for me anyway, there's an ass end to Netflix and Prime now where when you scroll too far over, you start hitting like all the like the Bollywood movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure, don't get me wrong, I know people fucking love those. But for me, that is just like, well, okay, I don't know why this is even appearing in my Netflix. Like, I will not watch these probably.
Unless
recommends one that's really good or something. But
I've been playing a lot of these VR games on Steam, you know, and girlfriend simulators and stuff, you know, just making sure, just getting a bit of practice here. End up with, hopefully, one day, fingers crossed, the real thing.
Yeah.
Having the Steam reviews is a legitimately a really good way of actually telling me whether a game is bad or not, right? Because usually I look at something, if it's like very positive or overwhelmingly positive, I'm like, I'm probably just going to buy it straight away. And then I scroll down, and if there's a guy with like 2,000 hours in the game, and he's like, it's like a funny comment, like, you know, yeah, this game made, you know, I played this game on the toilet. And
I love people who have like 2,000 hours of the game played, and they're so fucking like...
they're like, they're really
that's
angry.
That's all they've done with their life for the past 2 years.
And they hate the game as well. They give it a negative review.
Yeah,
and it's
they're
like,
I tried really hard, guys. I wasted all my time.
I really played this game. I tried to like it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they really... I mean, at least it's a good review if they actually played the game.
Well,
like,
that's
the guys
the
that have 0.1 hours on record and go, rubbish. Think,
I don't reckon you can give a game a negative review if you've played more than 1,000 hours in it. That feels
no. I mean, obviously, you've got
bullshit.
1,000 hours of entertainment out of it.
But that is more often than you think, because people are so invested in a game, they love a game so much. Like we with WoW, that we're incredibly critical of it, and as a result, a patch change comes along, they're like, oh, that's the last straw, you nerfed mage. I'm going to complain. Fucking developers not thinking about us mages. My staff of the unholy dick has been nerfed one final time, and now I can no longer gank noobs in the conflicted zone. It's like,
oh my god,
people lose their shit.
So accurate.
If Netflix had some sort of Steam style, even if it was just a link to fucking IMDb or something that told me, because the Netflix star rating system means that I look at a movie and I'm like, oh, is this going to be terrible or not? And then I have to get my phone out, I have to look it up, and it's like
never see
four
a one
out
star
of ten
on
stars.
It.
And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Like,
me.
Everything seems to be at least three stars.
Well,
like,
I think the star rating is to do with whether it should be appropriate for you based on your viewing history, rather than any kind of measurement of whether the movie's good or not. And as a result,
who fucking cares?
I've
it's terrible.
Watched such a lot of wank on Netflix, like that I just thought, fuck me, that was a complete waste of my life. Whereas I'm sure there's like something really good on there that I've never heard of because it's not got a good rating.
I watched
system.
Something called it's called The Rain. It's like a Danish thing. Have you heard of that? Rain.
The Rain.
So
no.
It's like, I think it's on Amazon. Actually, it might be on Amazon. I can't remember. Anyway, it's in Danish. It's set in Denmark. I recommend turning off the voiceover because it's terrible. So just go with the subtitled version.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's like an apocalyptic thing
where these
guys try to, there's this terrible rain that gives people this terrible virus. And it's the one of the guys who's sort of in the project that developed or is trying to combat this. He's in the very beginning of the film, he's in the car with his family and it starts to rain. He's like, we got to get out of here. So they go down this bunker and he starts from there. And it's decent. It's not great. I skipped quite a bit of it because when I get to a point where I know what's going to happen, I just skip forward to a scene that looks interesting. You know, it's like a long conversation in the woods. I'm like, I already know this. These two characters, I know exactly where they're going. Skip, 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 skip. So it was. I watched it in like a day and a half. I just skipped a bunch of it. It's okay. I give it like a 5 out of 10. If you love post-apocalyptic stuff, it's got a few cool things in it. But yeah,
5 out of 10? Are you fucking shitting me? Is this your film recommendation for people?
I'm saying it's okay. It's like, that's why it gets a 5 out of 10.
It's not really worth watching. If you want to
post-apocalyptic stuff, it's okay. It's 5 out of 10.
Yeah, let's just go through everything on Netflix that we didn't, was average. I mean, it's like,
that's the most recent thing I fucking watched. We were talking about Netflix. I gave you a recommendation.
It's not really a recommendation. I don't know whether to watch it or not now. All you told me is average.
Recommendation was.
Why don't they put that on the fucking film poster? You might like
ladies,
it, you might not.
Ladies,
who's
ladies,
gonna go?
What's your rating system? Give me an example of a film. What about Talladega Nights? How much do you give that, Sips?
Like 5 out of 10, I guess.
5 out of 10. It was okay.
I wouldn't watch a 5 out of 10 movie. I got better things to do with my life.
No, you haven't. You just said you watch a lot of shit on Netflix.
Yeah, I do watch a lot of shit on Netflix. Actually.
Yeah, your argument falls apart.
I play a lot of shitty games on Steam
case
as well.
Close. Where's my gavel?
Hey, Flax. Have you seen or do you know anything about The Quiet Place, the movie?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Listen. Good. Don't read up on this movie at all, and just go see it. Okay.
Where is it?
Thank me later.
Okay. At the cinema?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
go.
Cool.
Just go and see it. Just find a time to go and see it and go see it.
Okay, I'll do it.
It was right. Directed from.
Don't.
But.
Nothing. He's got to go.
I don't
want to
hear a word.
Right, we want a trip report next week when we do the Triforce on what you thought of the movie. Okay.
Will do.
Sweet. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. We have to go devise ways to, get another 1.5 downloads in the next couple of 4 months.
We can do it, lads.
So we're going to put our heads together and we're going to figure it out. And in the meantime...
Come up with a jingle.
We'll come up with a jingle. Flax is going to go watch that movie.
Yep.
Lewis is just going to go play some more VR girlfriend games. And I've been your host, Chris Loves Ass. I'll see you guys next time. Peace and love.
Bye.
Bye.